So that was fun. Jake and I have traded places. He'll be back Sunday. And I wanted to give you guys a special thank you. I know he might not say anything, but I'm watching the show. I'm not able to be there. I wanted to say thank you guys for all the positive feedback you left Jake. It's not easy talking to yourself and riding solo. It's much easier for me. I talk to myself and force baseball conversation on my wife, but wanted to make sure you guys understood how appreciated you were. Obviously, today's Yankees game was amazing. 11-0 win. Welcome in to Yankees Unloaded. I'm Gary Sheffield Jr. Cody Bellinger's your hero today. 3-for-5, 3 homers, 6 ribbies. Probably should have had 4 if it wasn't for Kyle Tucker, this player that a lot of us want this offseason. So a lot to talk about. And the interesting part about this whole thing, in my opinion, is that Cody Bellinger, just maybe 3 weeks, a month ago, he went from getting back to hitting 250 to saying, yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that with the defense, the speed, the arm, the personality, dapping up fans front row. And now suddenly he's hit home run 14, 15, and 16 on a Friday leading up to the break. And the conversation's now, what does Brian Cashman have to do? And how much money is he going to have to fork out to return this player? Cody Bellinger is now hitting 285. He's driven in 54. And like I said, he's got 16 bombs, elite defense. What does that cost? We'll talk about it in depth and why Scott Boras, let's remember everybody, this is his agent. Why he may agree to this with Cody Bellinger as opposed to just last season, everybody said Juan Soto would never do this. What are the differences? What are the similarities? We're going to talk about all that and why I think they can get this done. Of course, we're going to mention the Spencer Jones thing. You guys knew I wouldn't leave it alone. There are rumors that the Yankees, and not necessarily reports, but people want Spencer Jones traded, and there's other people who want to see it through. And I don't blame him. He's raking. So we'll bring up those numbers and why it might actually be a really good idea and just how he's doing. So I think personally, like, that'll be a fluid situation that you've just got to see what's available. We'll talk that through. And of course, we're going to talk the game. Carlos Rodon's 8 innings pitched, 4 hits, 0 earned runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. The Yankees out hitting the Cubs 15-5, winning 11-0, sitting just 1.5 games back of first place. They've won 5 straight. We didn't see this coming. We won't act like we did. Of course, Toronto's now leading 7-0 over the A's. So that's going to be a 2-game lead for Toronto. But regardless, ton of momentum. And make sure you guys subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. We are giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice, home or road. We're not going to give you guys some cheap jersey. We're going to give you a jersey of your choice out of the team shop when we hit 10,000 subscribers. Smash the subscriber button. But let's start with the 29-year-old Cody Bellinger. And of course, and we have to almost attach him to this guy at this point. He represents him, and it's Scott Boras and what we're dealing with here. Hey, Cody Bellinger now is in a position where you know, okay, he's not going to give you the 40 home runs maybe that you're used to, right, in the MVP season. He's not necessarily trying to light up radar guns or exit velocity or the baseball savant page. He's not a hero in some of those websites. That's part of the reason why he's in the predicament that he's in. Of course, some of it was due to his shoulder injury that he had in a postseason run with the Dodgers, and it's what led him potentially of being traded to Chicago in the first place. But now that you sort of look at this and you say, yeah, the exit velocity still isn't at the top of the game, but the results are there. We're no longer talking about hard exit velo. We're talking about wins and losses, batting average, driving in runs, run production, making adjustments. Cody Bellinger's, he's everything when it comes to that. He's honestly the best adjuster mid-game that any player we've got on this roster. And that's what I love about him. This is the reason why I told you guys, don't worry about this guy. He's got a bad back coming out of spring training. Everyone talked about the numbers and what was going to happen with his. Is he going to be a one and done? Are we going to have to deal with this player opt-in? And then you turn around and then all of a sudden you say, oh, how do we get this guy to stay? How do we get him into his age 30, 31, 32 season? Because now we're almost afraid to go into these contracts. We almost feel any player, anyone under a contract is going to turn into a DJ LeMahieu, a colossal dump at the end of the deal. How can we stretch the money? How can we get rid of it? But I always try and remind people, if you're going to always wait to give guys 1 or 2 year deals, you're not going to end up with very many quality free agents. Just doesn't work that way. So love this. Thank you guys for the super chats. I'm going to make sure I don't fall behind. I know Jake makes me fall behind. I'll be honest. I'll blame him. So Kyle with the super with the two says, please extend Bellinger and also Martian lead off always. So let's go ahead. We've placed enough blame on Aaron Boone, and I don't want to make it seem like he's just absolved from all that criticism, but let's be real here. Aaron Boone, if we're going to blame him for Jason Dominguez having days off, right? Ben Rice having days off, all these decisions in this lineup. So Kyle, this is great, because when you mention that the Martian leading off is part of the solution for this Yankees team in a more sustainable offense, I would agree with that. But at the same time here, Boone is the one making this decision. I always, if they're going to make it seem like Boone makes the decisions, I'm going to blame him when it goes wrong, but I also have to give him the credit when it goes right. Kyle, this leadoff situation with Jason Dominguez is great. It's part of the reason why you turn on the Yankees game, you expect to see J-Dom leading off the game. That's what we want. That's what we want, isn't it? Right? We were all complaining about if Judge was going to hit two, is he going to hit three? Well, you know what? I don't think anyone's going to complain when you have a player with the type of production that Cody Bellinger's putting up with an ops of 838. That's what we're talking about. A player who probably should be at the All-Star game over Rodriguez in Seattle. Is there really a case he doesn't have more homers? His ops is lower. His defense isn't as good. His arm's not as good. He doesn't have as much range. What are we dealing with here? Cody Bellinger is an All-Star caliber player. And so, yeah, let's give Boone credit. Love that, Kyle. Thank you for the two. And FIFO with the two, also a member here at Yankees Unloaded, so thank you for doing so, says, where are the All-Star appearance for Bellinger? So there you have it. Where, you know, actually, I would say, I saw a comment. I actually think it was my mom. This is how tapped in she is now. I've got her hooked on Yankees baseball. It was the start. Part of the reason that gets you to the All-Star game, it is how that first month goes, unfortunately. And by the time you total up what's happened here and you look up and you say, okay, well, how did a player play in May and then July, and you accumulate all these things, well, a lot of times that's not really what got you there. It, coming out slow, Cody Bellinger was horrible in the first month of the season. And everyone called me a homer because I went to high school with the kid. I was rooting for him. I'll be honest. I'm honestly biased. However, I told you guys, if the numbers don't back me being behind him, I can't do it. I won't do it. I just refuse. And the numbers were showing that he was playing bad baseball. I covered it as such, but I told everyone it's going to change. It is going to change. And the rest of baseball was watching that start. Why? Because he's a $25 million player. So a lot of what other fans may perceive, a lot of what other voters may perceive is that, oh, that guy who's getting a lot of money over there, he's not performing. And maybe he's the reason why the Yankees potentially aren't winning, or he's not necessarily the solution. It's Judge. It's not him. And suddenly you look up and Cody Bellinger is not at the All-Star game as a starter or just on the roster, period, where he belongs. So love that. Completely agree. I think Cody Bellinger should be an All-Star this year. And Mark with the super with the 10, also a member here at Yankees Unloaded, so thank you for doing so, says amazing game. I agree, Mark. 11-0 games, much more fun than what we've been watching these past few weeks. Can we please end the debate about Ohtani being the superior player? You got a case there. Because he plays two ways. I want to see Ohtani do what Judge did today on defense. So on the defensive end, debate over Judge wins. So this is a debate, actually, that started and stopped. But it was more so a debate, I would say, 3 years ago, right? When you've got Shohei Ohtani as the ace of a rotation, albeit not a great rotation in Anaheim, but we all expected him to be a two-way star, and him eventually, we're hoping he returns to form. We're not rooting for any one player to not return to their form. We want everyone healthy. But having said that, what is more valuable? I'm curious, right? Because you have to remember, if Shohei Ohtani is in your rotation, it's still incredibly valuable. It is. But you also have to remember, you have a six-man rotation, not a five-man. It needs to be like what he came from in Japan, where his body can recoup. He's still having to go out and take at-bats, run the bases. So you still have to accommodate for that. But then what Mark brings up here beautifully is the defense. What about the defense? Today, and mind you, I text my mom and said, Aaron Judge was just great today. He was awesome. I'm sitting there watching the game. His fingerprints were all over this game, an 11-0 game. And you must be thinking, well, the best player in the sport, He just must have hit two homers. He must have driven in five, done what he usually does. No, 0-for-2 day, two walks, two Ks, nothing really to, like, no 8 or 9 year old drove, like, left Yankee Stadium today and said, oh yeah, I was waiting to see Aaron Judge do that. No, they were waiting for Aaron Judge to hit homers, to take clutch at bats to come through. But then, as Mark brings up, a player of this caliber can change the game any type of way. He changed it with his glove. Carlos Rodon talked about it after the game. You don't expect greatness like that because greatness tends to surprise you. But Aaron Judge is the epitome of greatness. He, at this point, the only thing he's got to check off is postseason baseball. Everyone knows this. So love that the defense is brought up. And it's not every day we talk about the defense from Aaron Judge. So obviously, guys, and by the way, if you came here for the Cody Bellinger conversation, we're going to get back to how much money I think the Yankees have to offer him. And I think it's actually hovering closer to $150 million, which I know, I get it. I understand. We want to pay less money as opposed to more. It's not our money. Some of us feel this way. That's the way I feel. But if you want talent and you want them to forego free agency, you want them to forego they're probably going to opt out of this contract, a $25 million player option, especially the way he's playing. And if he has a big October, yeah, he's turning around saying, I want 6-7 years. So I'm looking at $150 million. So it's a lot of money. So we'll get there. But again, like I told you, we are catching up on these supers. And Luis Soto with the 5, also a member here, says Bellinger will clearly opt out. There you have it. I promise you, I'm not reading ahead on these. So if the money is spent regardless, wouldn't you go all in on Tucker? Well, so Luis, I think this is written under the guise that it's either Cody Bellinger or it's Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger. You're not going to have both. And to which I say, why not? Why? The Yankees are what we're absolved from responsibility to bring the best possible players. And mind you, people always say, they say this every day. I read it every single day on X. Why do you guys think you're entitled to all these great players? Why do you think everyone should want to play with you, right? Why should all the players aren't running to go play with the Yankees, into which I agree. However, when you offer top dollar, when you spend, I call it investing. People call it buying. I call it investing. If you want to make the Yankees look like the Yankees again, where your kids show up to the yard and they say, oh, all the fun players and all the good players, they play with those guys. I want to watch them. Cody Bellinger, Kyle Tucker, whoever else, right? So if the Yankees have a clear way of bringing in talent, why wouldn't you expect both? Now, I hope this makes sense. I actually texted Jake this earlier this morning. I said, I don't expect both Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker, but I expect it. I'm essentially telling you, that's exactly what I expect the Yankees to do. The Yankees should go out and get both of these players. If you believe both of those players are part of the solution to help the Yankees win a World Series, don't tell me about a budget. Don't tell me about, oh, we like this prospect. If you like the prospect, find a way to fit them around that talent, right? So yeah, Luis, if we're forced, absolutely forced to make a decision between one or the other, I probably go with Cody Bellinger. He's the cheaper asset. He's the asset that has a history with this franchise, right? But again, I just hesitate to even put that out there because it's almost accepting something I shouldn't have to accept. But I'll answer your question. It is Cody Bellinger. And I understand if we're going to spend all that money on Bellinger, should we fork over more? It's not the same. Cody Bellinger's probably going to get a 5-6 year contract at roughly $25 to $30 million, similar to what he's paid this year. Meanwhile, Kyle Tucker, he's probably looking at 10 or 11 years. You're going to be paying him until he's 40, 41 years old, which isn't the worst thing as long as you win at the beginning of that contract. But there's just levels, different types of money, year after year. Obviously, you saw with Juan Soto. So a lot at play here. And again, Luis with the super, thank you for the 5, says another monster game for Spencer Jones. Now batting 304, his ops is over 1,000. With 22 homers, obviously talking about his entire season. What does Cashman do? Sell high or make him untouchable? So Luis, I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to essentially answer the final part of that first. Make him untouchable. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. A lot of folks think if you have a prospect that's dominating currently AAA, right? Just hit his fifth home run in AAA today, this morning. But having said that, people always say, well, if you want to trade this player, you don't have any use for him. You don't want him. You don't think that the Yankees potentially could have use for a player who can run, who's got a great arm, plays great overall defense. You don't have use for a power hitter in today's game. You don't have use for that guy. You must hate his future. You must hate him. No. I genuinely believe Spencer Jones is going to be a good player in this league. I really do. He's made a ton of adjustments. He's opened up his stance. He's been willing to take on coaching, right? That's everything you can ask for. He seems like a great guy. Everything you want. So why trade him? Well, here's my thing. It depends who's coming through the door. If it's for a rental for Suarez and maybe a Zach Gallen, do I take on that contract? No, I don't. However, if you all of a sudden get a call from, say, Cleveland for Jose Ramirez, now mind you, I'm not telling you this is what's on the table or what could be. All I'm telling you is when you have prospects who are performing at this level, you simply say, no one, especially given our history with our prospects, is untouchable. Not George Lombard Jr., not Spencer Jones, not even Jason Dominguez before he got here. Nobody should be untouchable given who's coming through the door. I better love the player who's walking through the door and I better have control of him. If I do, all of you guys should be available via trade. There really shouldn't be any prospects in anyone's system that is considered untouchable unless you think it is a shoe-in superstar, a player in Bryce Harper's caliber, Juan Soto. Now, all of these players broke into the league at 18, 19 years old. Everyone knew they were going to be a stud. Every single person. It wasn't about stats and AAA. It was none of that. They just wrecked every single level. They did. Those are the untouchable players. And Spencer Jones, as great as he is, and I really think he's going to be a good player in this league, he's not on that level. So yeah, Luis, he's not an untouchable player. I hope that came through clear. I hope people understand. I'm not rooting for Spencer Jones to be kicked out of the organization, but if he's going to go, something really good better walk through that door. And I'm not sure who that person is. I'm not going to just throw names and stick them on the wall. So appreciate it, Luis. Thank you for getting involved. Kyle with the super with the two says, love that Boone left Rodon to finish the eighth. Now, real quick, Boone goes out there, clearly was taking him out of this game. And Carlos Rodon, this is part of the human element that everybody says Boone has just no sense of, right? And again, if we're going to criticize him, that's fair. But we also, if we're going to say that it's all computers and gadgets, how do the computers and gadgets allow him to keep him in the game? He said, I think I've got this guy. I think you can, when he pulled the Mike Mussina, Joe Torre, yeah, go sit down. And that's exactly what he did. And he came through. And obviously it was 11-0 game. Probably doesn't make the difference today. But it's nice to see that Boone has a human element in there. It worked out. So completely agree, Kyle. And Jenna, welcome in. How do we keep Bellinger, sign Tucker, and keep Jones? This is a great question. I think I saw you write this on X earlier. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm going to say this. If you've got, mind you, you wrote down three players, players that I expect. Now, Cody Bellinger, I think, is a great player. Great overall player, right? I mentioned it earlier. Kyle Tucker, I think, is a future Hall of Famer. Future Hall of Famer. Spencer Jones, I think, is a very good player. Potential All-Star, right? Mind you, we haven't seen him a lick in Major League Baseball. Potential All-Star could mean anything. It really could. But having said this, let's break this down. You've got Cody Bellinger, right? You know he's a dominant defensive player. You want him in the outfield. Okay, great. Let's just put him in left. You've got Kyle Tucker. Well, so now Bellinger's got to go to center. Okay? So now you're saying, okay, Bellinger, Tucker, Jones. Where's the best player in the game? Where's Aaron Judge? Where's he going to play? Oh, he'll just DH. Where's Jason Dominguez? Right? So you see that when you have a certain amount of positions in the outfield, I know everyone says, well, these are good problems to have. No, they are not. Was the whole Grisham Dominguez thing half this year a good problem, guys? Like, we heard that, but as Michael Kay put it, good problems to have are still problems. Do you want Spencer Jones on your big league roster? And what? You bring in Kyle Tucker, right? You bring in Cody Bellinger, you re-sign him. Where's everybody going to play? Oh, Cody can play first base. Oh, so you're trading Ben Rice. Do you see how everything dominoes? So Jenna, a great point. Thank you for the two. Thank you for getting involved. You guys see that decisions have to be made. You have surpluses based on who you sign. And then with that surplus, you saw with Nestor Cortez this offseason, they said, okay, we've got enough starting pitching. We like what we've got. We like Cam Schlittler. We like these guys. And we also brought in Fried. We're going to punt on some of that and go get a closer. Go get some help for our bullpen, what we perceive to be weak. And in my opinion, the Yankees should use a surplus in the outfield to help themselves in the infield. I don't love what we have at third base. I really don't love what we have at shortstop. I love Jazz Chisholm as a second baseman, right? I think the Yankees have a future at first base with Ben Rice or maybe a Cody Bellinger moving to the position. But having said all these things, decisions have to be made. You can't just keep everybody. That's not the way systems work. It's not the way prospects work. You have to essentially put your eggs in a basket and roll with it. And just hanging on to everybody and re-signing and inking everyone, it's not leaving you with a solution. So Jenna, again, thank you for that. And Alex with the 20, thank you for the super, says Belly's comp as a player to me is Paul O'Neill. That's very interesting. I think Jake's actually brought this up a little bit. I feel like he's brought this name up. It says hits for average, above average power. And I think that's valid. He's probably, we had him in the low to mid 20s. He might actually scratch 30, which I'm not going to pretend I saw coming, but the short porch, as you can see, is really paying off for Cody Bellinger. Great defense and hustle, most importantly. Cody Bellinger, Alex, I'm so glad you brought up the hustle. We talk all day long. You saw what was going on with the Mets, right? Citi Field. You saw Juan Soto. Oh, I thought I was giving effort, right? I thought I was working hard. And meanwhile, we're watching tape of him literally not working hard. That was all it was. Now, mind you, not that big of a deal. It needs to be corrected. He'll fix it, whatever. But we're not going to watch Cody Bellinger, who's already made over $150 million in his career. I don't have to tell him. You don't have to tell him to hustle. It's just in his nature. It's in his game. And of course, he mentions the base running. That's awesome, Alex. The base running is great, right? And when he was struggling, he finds ways to make impact. That's something Yankees just don't do. Look over the years. How much baseball have you guys watched? I assume a lot. If you're listening to our podcast after midnight Eastern, I would assume a lot of you watch baseball. How many Yankees over the past 12 years do you say, yeah, he doesn't have to hit a lick, but he still impacts the game? He can strike out twice, maybe walk once. He finds a way to help this team win. How many players can you tell me can do that? The list is incredibly short, if not non-existent. That's how valuable Cody Bellinger is to our team. So you might stack Cody Bellinger with other free agents in the market, and maybe it doesn't look so favorable. But when you look at what the Yankees are good at, they slug, right? Everyone talks about they always strike out. So does everybody else. We're not at the bottom of the league in strikeouts. We're not at the bottom of the league in walks, right? We are able to hit. We're a good hitting team. But the Yankees lack the intangibles. You know who doesn't? Cody Bellinger. How valuable is he to your team? That's how much you have to pay him. So love this super. And Alex says he also can't figure out how to become a member. So Alex, I believe below, you have to hit join. I think the join button should be below me. And somewhere around the subscribe button where that would be. So make sure you hit the join button. I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. That was the instruction that Jake gave me a few weeks ago. And Rich Squires with the 10 has been a member with us for a while. Rich, thank you for being a supporter of Yankees Unloaded. Greatly appreciated. Says, remember, Belly wants to be a Yankee. He showed loyalty by offering to give back some of his salary to stay. When he was in a slump, this is the person I want on my team. Show him the money. Now, mind you guys, players don't have to give a rip about your organization. They don't have to care about this. Cody Bellinger doesn't have to care about the Yankees brand. Why does he have to, right? It's just in a person or it's not. And you can't force it. You can't look at a Juan Soto and say, well, we traded Michael King and we traded these prospects, some really good players. We took a huge risk and brought you in. Don't you want this? That's not his fault. That's our fault. Ours. Do the homework. Rich brings up a great point. Cody Bellinger wants to be a Yankee. That is true. That's absolutely true. He wants to be in pinstripes. So how about you utilize this information that you obviously, we obviously have this information. You should make long-term marriages with people that want to be married to you. Cody Bellinger is that. So love it, Rich. Don't force people to want the Yankees brand. The Yankees brand's not for everybody. It's not. And if you force it on people, what ends up happening is they take the money and lie to you and say, oh, the Yankees. And then they get there and you get into year two and they show you they don't care. So Rich, I completely agree. I'm 100%. I'm behind this 100%. It's awesome. And Mark, again with the five, also a member here at Yankees Unloaded, says Los definitely told me Boone. He's not going to allow Loaisiga to come in. Yeah. And coming in and let his ERA go up. This is true. I think all of us saw Johnny Lowe, and I think I tweeted 2 days ago, why are we forcing Johnny Lowe? I just think that he's got the stuff. It has nothing to do with the radar gun. It's just the movement doesn't seem like it's there. And unfortunately, now maybe it's going to change long term. However, nothing on screen suggests that. I haven't seen any evidence of it. I'm not going to show up here on a mic. I didn't spend this type of money on this microphone to lie to you guys. That's not why we started this podcast. Our job here is to cover what it is that's happening on the screen. There's no reason to pull what Carlos Rodon was doing on the mound today and say, you know what we'd rather have, which would help us in this situation actually get an out, is to put Johnny Lowe into the situation. It doesn't help anybody. So Mark, very funny. It wasn't going to work. So love that obviously Carlos Rodon showed you flashes of what he used to do, which is like, hey, get out of my way. But I'm also a great teammate. So he's saying all the right things. He's delivering. And of course, he made Boone look really smart by leaving him in. So was awesome. And Apex, thank you for the two, says, I'm wary of trading Jones because Judge is getting older. To be honest, guys, if you can't, as the New York Yankees, with a payroll of $300 million, you can't replenish outfield talent with as many good outfielders as there are in Major League Baseball. You've got a Kyle Tucker available in this upcoming free agency. You've got all these different players available, you know, at your disposal. Aaron Judge should, and I'm telling you guys, should be able to be the designated hitter for this organization long term. Not maybe this year, maybe not next year, but you're talking about age 34, 35, Aaron Judge. Apex, if you're worried about it, which you have every right to be, we have ways to protect players from injury, from aging, and that is designated hitter. So if you need to replenish that talent, sign them, right? I get it. You don't want to trade Spencer Jones, but you're not trading Spencer Jones and getting nothing. You're not trading Spencer Jones and getting a third baseman in a Suarez, and then you go lose in the championship series, and then he's gone. So now Spencer Jones is just gone for nothing, and now you've got to get an outfielder? No. You bring in somebody who's a long-term solution for your prospect in Spencer Jones. Do you have to trade him? No. So don't worry, but I will tell you, Apex, if the Yankees trade Spencer Jones, if Brian Cashman decides to do that, and we don't love, when I say love the player walking through the door, then you can be worried. So completely agree. I agree. Like, I understand that you're concerned, but let's see what happens first with that. And then once it's happened, then we'll freak out. Or something great can happen. You never know. And Alex L with the five, thank you, says, join late. Not sure if you covered this, but what do you think of a realistic trade deadline looks like? So I'm just going to cut it to you straight. I think the New York Yankees are going to go after a couple of relievers, not one, multiple. You saw last year and you saw what Jack Curry was saying. They're going to go after a righty. They're going to go after a lefty, right? The rest is history. We get Mark Leiter Jr. and De Los Meatballs. We've talked about it. But the Yankees need multiple bullpen arms, right? You got Leiter Jr. going down and he had a stress fracture, which is a bummer. It is. Fernando Cruz dealing with injury. Weaver dealing with injury. And of course, he's back and he's not pitching like himself. I assume he's going to return. We don't have any real confirmation of this, but we assume he's going to be Weaver at some point. But you guys are short arms. You are. So do the Yankees have enough starting pitching? I don't know. I think they're close enough. Maybe they can bring in a starter. I have no problem with that. But when you look at that bullpen, how many guys do we love tossing the ball to? How many guys do you feel confident are going to miss a bat once or twice in an inning? I just don't see that out of our bullpen. I see a couple solid guys that are certainly not terrible, but are they? Can they be relied on in a pennant race? Not even close. So, Alex, I think a realistic deadline looks like multiple relievers, maybe a veteran starter on a, maybe, honestly, maybe a 15 to 16 year contract in terms of money. The Yankees bring in 1 year of money, something not long term. Bring in a starter, two relievers. I assume they're going to trade for a third baseman, and I don't think you guys are going to love who it is. I promise you. You guys didn't love when we said Moncada. People didn't love the Suarez pickup because they said, well, the defense isn't great, or they didn't love who we had to surrender, right? People were throwing Spencer Jones' name in that conversation with Suarez and Gallen. I promise you, our chat is going to lose its mind if that was the trade. If Spencer Jones is gone and Suarez and Gallen come through the door, I like those players. But do I love it? Is it a perfect fit long-term and short-term, all of that? No. So that's what I think is a realistic deadline. I think it's just going to be relievers. It's going to be pitching, pitching, pitching. Brian Cashman said this. Let's believe what he says. And then, of course, we're going to discuss it at depth, you know, at the deadline. So that will be fun. And Ronnie with the 20, always awesome. Huge supporter of Yankees Unloaded. So Ronnie, thank you so much for doing so. Says a full week of consistent lineups, players not out of position, and Boone managing like a manager, letting Rodon finish. More of this, please. The human element, Ronnie. I think you're getting at the human element. When does Aaron Boone become a consistent human being in that dugout? He's made mistakes. Certainly, we've covered them. Most people have covered them as well. They've given their takes, their spins, what to do about these mistakes that are happening. But what happens if he goes the other way? What happens if the obvious decision, Jason Dominguez should lead off, right? You should probably have Aaron Judge hitting ahead of Bellinger. Bellinger's one of the hottest players in our lineup and have some protection there. That's the obvious thing. You should probably force Ben Rice into this lineup. You should be teeing up lefty-righty matchups with Goldschmidt, right? You should be doing that with Ben Rice. The obvious decisions. Keeping guys in the game as opposed to bad relievers. Obvious choices. And Ronnie's noticing them. So am I. How can you miss this? Anyone who watches baseball or has been watching baseball for 20, 30 years, the way most of us have, a lot of us in here, this is not a young person's podcast. I'll be honest with you. Some young people in here. But we've got a lot of 40s and 50-somes in here as well. And we're describing an old school brand of baseball where you just say, well, why wouldn't you do this? Well, where'd you come up with that? What graph and what analytics suggests you should do that? I'm like, nothing. Isn't it obvious? Isn't this the clear choice? And to which eventually the old school managers get to that decision. And it seems like Boone's clearly not an old school manager, but these are good old school decisions. Keep the lineup, the hot hitters, the Dominguez, the Judge, the Bellinger, right? The Chisholms, they should all be sandwiched all the way up at the top. And that's exactly what you've seen, Ronnie. And isn't it just so funny that once we get that, we've got a consistent offense, right? And the only thing that we're now focused on is pitching. So if Brian Cashman tells us pitching is the number one pursuit, our offense is now, you're leading off, you're hitting two, you're hitting three. We're not going to mess with it. We're not going to change it. And you bring in arms? Well, are we a World Series team? I have no idea. I probably still wouldn't vouch for this. I wouldn't. But we need to see what the deadline looks like. Brian Cashman's got a major job to do. I'm not going to tell you guys what he will do or if it's going to work out. He's got to show it to us. It's not my job, of course. I'm a podcaster. I don't make any trades. I'm not calling anyone and seeing who's available, but they've got work to do. So Ronnie, thank you. Completely agree. I love it. And Kyle with the two, also a mod here with Yankees Unloaded, says All-Star game, a joke. Half of the players replaced. Yeah, it was a little disappointing, wasn't it? I believe Carlos Rodon actually will be at the All-Star game, which is good news. And I think he deserves this. When we came into the year, everyone was asking me, what the hell do you guys have in your rotation? Like, what do you expect from Max Fried? And I certainly it wasn't this. It wasn't an All-Star game appearance at all. We thought it was going to be low inning, high output, low ERA, low Ks, a lot of pitching to contact. We weren't sure about the infield defense, but we thought it'd be good, not great. And it was great, not good. So having said this, you look at Rodon, we just penciled him in as this high ceiling, low floor, inconsistent, just all over the place mentally. And look what he did. He bounced back in a major way mentally. This is all mental. Of course, he and Matt Blake, they brought in the wrinkle. He's going to bring in the sinker. He's going to get guys off that four-seam fastball. It's not just going to be high fastball, wipeout slider, and if I get behind and counts, I'm in trouble. He's now pitching. And of course, he's pitched before. He's been Cy Young and all this stuff. But you need to find ways to evolve. You need to find ways, if you don't have your stuff, what type of adjustments are you capable of? And Carlos Rodon has shown now something could go horribly wrong in the first inning, and you don't have to pencil him in for a nightmare by the fourth or fifth. You don't have to pencil it in as a bullpen game because he came out the gate slow. He, just like Max Fried, is now a master of adjustment. And that's what you want out of starting pitchers. So, yeah, with this All-Star game, I'm glad to see Rodon floating over there. But, yeah, it feels like the All-Star game is becoming more of a gimmick. The game's going to be great. I mean, these are still really good players. But, man, I feel like we might need to revamp somewhat of the system. I'm not sure what to do. I don't have the perfect solution for all these things. But I know when I see J-Rod with an ops under league average of 700, I know that's, again, I think there's a lot in the future of him. I think he'll fix it. But to say he's an all-star over some of these guys, it's just barbaric to me. And Jonathan Alvarez with the 5, also a member at Yankees Unloaded. Jonathan, thank you so much for doing so. Says, fans want an impact player but are not willing to pay the cost to get pieces that may put us over the top. It's win now, championship, or bust. So Jonathan, this is, I have no remix to it. And to further Jonathan's point, essentially what people want, they want to be able to see what if this player is available in Arizona, right? What if, and they call us a win now organization, right? That's exactly what the Yankees call themselves. We want to win now. And they say, okay, well, how are you going to go about that, right? You consider yourself to have a shortcomings in your rotation somewhat, like heels coming back, so maybe you can solve some of that. Your bullpen is a disaster. Okay, and we're not going to harp on it. We won it 11-0. This is a great day for Yankees baseball. But you told us your bullpen is short. Okay. So now going into your deadline, how aggressive are you planning to be? Because if those are your problems, third base, bullpen, the mound, what are you willing to surrender to make sure those aren't problems in October? What are you willing to part with? As Jonathan puts, they want to part with bits and pieces. A lot of Yankees fans, and I'm not talking about everybody, but it's a large portion of them, especially on X social media. Oh, we won't give you Spencer Jones. We won't give you George Lombard Jr. They make it seem like everybody's a sure thing superstar. Oh, if we hang on to that guy, he's Mickey Mantle. How has that worked out for the Yankees over the years? How's that worked? We did the exact same thing with Anthony Volpe. And people made it seem, if you trade this player, you must hate him. You must think he sucks. You must be horrible. You must see no potential in him. Wrong. I think the great players out there that I want to trade for, I think this player would net me that. That's how good I think that young kid is who's in double A, single A, rookie ball, right? So really, when you're saying, I want to trade for this great player and I'll give you such and such, that's you saying this young player is good enough to acquire that. Isn't that what you're saying? So Jonathan, completely agree. People want to give up their scraps and acquire great players. The other team has to agree to the trade too. And you have to sell them on that. So I hope people understand trading players it's not vouching that a player is just horrible at his job or isn't going to be good at his job. Because people tell me every day, I saw it this morning, my inbox was packed, like 60 DMs of people saying, I don't want to trade Spencer Jones because I want to see what he can provide in the future. So do I. But what happens if a better player or a player who can help us win in Aaron Judge's window, what happens if a player is available and Spencer Jones is the only thing in between that of us acquiring a player that could be a game changer? Now, who's available? I don't have any answers. We have no idea who's available. You just saw in the NBA, Luka Doncic was traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis. How many people had that on their bingo card? Nobody. Not one person, not one team, not one reporter. No one had a rumor, nothing. Because that's how fluid everything is. So I want people to understand when the right player comes available, you should be willing to give up anybody. And that's my stance on it. So Jonathan, completely agree. If we're championship or bust, prove it. At some point you have to prove it. Not every year, maybe. But when the right guy comes available, don't tell me you got an untouchable. And then that player is fighting for position to play a couple years later. Pretty ridiculous. But Apex with the two says, do they eat Stan's contract for 2026 for Judge to DH? I think it's certainly possible. Especially it's going to be really predicated on how Giancarlo plays. But Giancarlo is a highly serviceable player, especially in October. But he's certainly a problem, right? He's a, we have to hula hoop this. We can't utilize DH as much as we want to with Judge, right? It gets him off his feet, clearly keeps him fresh. It keeps the offensive numbers just continuing to go up. But once you bring Stanton into the fold, he's shown offensively what he can do. You saw him off the bench the other day. Great. But good problems to have. We don't have DH. So Apex, I have no idea what they'll do. Eventually, I feel they're not going to let this Giancarlo Stanton contract just expire, right, with him on the roster. I don't see it going all the way to the end, you know, to the buzzer. But when will that happen? I would assume 2027 would be my guess. I know a lot of people said we should DFA him a year ago, and we were somewhat on that boat, but then we saw performance. So very difficult questions to answer, but, you know, great questions nonetheless. So thank you for that. And Yankee Fangirl for Life with the five, also a member here. So thank you for that. Says, not sure you discussed this. What do you think of Rodon instead of Fried in the All-Star game and Jazz in the Home Run Derby? I'm not happy about Jazz. I'm going to start with Jazz because I did talk about the Rodon situation. I'll touch on it here in a second. I don't love the Home Run Derby thing. I don't love it. I just think that you have to remember what got us here, right? And mind you, him hitting in the Home Run Derby isn't just a foregone conclusion. He's going to show up and be wrecked. I know that when you're on the Madden cover, people say you're just going to snap your leg, right? They call it the Madden curse. You're going to be horrible the next year. But, man, that's superstition. But what about mechanics? Like, practicing bad habits, trying to hit home runs. The game's best players will all tell you, we don't try to hit home runs. They just happen. They are essentially a symptom of quality mechanics. Good. Awesome. Well, you guys watched Jazz Chisholm this first month, didn't you? Didn't you guys all tell me how bad this player was? Now, mind you, not the conclusion of who he was and what he was going to be, how bad he was playing. Wasn't everybody talking about that? He's hitting 100 for 3 weeks. One of the worst players in baseball. He was out of position at third base, right? We were talking about all these things and trying to break it down, why it was happening. And all of a sudden, Jazz Chisholm goes down with an injury. And what did he tell us in the media? I think I'm going to try to get back down to a 75% swing, 70% swing. And what did Jake brought up the point is that maybe this injury is a reset. And of course, meaning a reset on his mentality, a reset on what he's going to try to do with the Yankees. And all of a sudden he shows up and says, yeah, 70% is how I'm going to play baseball. I'm not going to try to hit home runs every day. I'm just not. Shows up to the yard. He's one of our better players. Instantly. He's been hitting over 300 since returning from the IL. He is one of our better players. People have even been asking, is fifth in our lineup good enough? Is it justified for him to even be that low in our lineup? I've heard that a lot. And mind you, I'm not telling you what you guys should think or where you should think he should be in this lineup, but you look up, he's hitting 252. His ops is almost 900. Do you know how bad it was at the beginning? That's how good he's been. So do I love that he's going to do the Home Run Derby and he's going to practice trying to hit home runs exactly what he was trying not to do this past 6 to 8 weeks? No, I don't love it. Now, again, this is up to Jazz Chisholm to remember what to do when he comes back after the break. But do I love this shift in mentality? I'm going to go do this skills competition, and then I'm going to show back up and go back to 70%. Yankee fangirl, you have every right to be disappointed. I am as well. I just didn't want to see this area of his game tested again. I just didn't. I love the concept of that Jazz is coming to the Yankees for real ball to help us win, and everything else is secondary, but I'm not calling him selfish. It's none of that. I'm not trying to make it seem like it just seems like a poor decision for the direction that we were going. So I don't love it again. We'll see what happens. But what I think about the Rodon instead of Fried at the All-Star game, I think that they were trying to tee up Fried for a start against the Braves. I'm not sure on that. I did see it on X, so of course you just never know on its validity. But I like the idea of Rodon, especially given the start he had with the Yankees. He was horrible with us. He was really bad. Some of it was his fault. Some of it wasn't. He goes into spring training, just banged up, not ready to pitch. And Jake and I both were trying to describe to you guys, and it was the same deal with Blake Snell. Remember, Blake Snell was signed late that same offseason. And all of a sudden, they said, well, Blake Snell might be a problem. He didn't pitch in spring training. He's not going to be ready to go. We know who had that same problem? Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon said, yeah, I'm off to a late start. I'm going to be on catch-up mode, and hopefully within a few weeks into the regular season, that first month will be my spring training. And we're like, ah, I don't really love that. And you sort of saw he never got off the mat. He never looked like Carlos Rodon. And there were a lot of people saying, oh, this is Patrick Corbin. This is, he's only throwing 92. He's throwing 91, 93. It's not the same stuff, right? And it took him a while to get back to this, to get to this output. And so to see what he's doing in 2025, making adjustments with Matt Blake, like we've discussed that, I love that this was rewarded. So this was the best thing that could have happened, in my opinion. I'm very happy for him. I know his wife is super involved, loves watching him pitch. So congratulations to the Rodon family. I thought it was awesome. Good for them. And Luis Soto with the two, also a member, says crazy rumors that Giants might move Devers. Yanks, that would be, that's a Kim Kardashian level marriage that they just had. Let me just have some sip of apple juice with that. I didn't see that rumor, so I won't confirm it. I'm not going to push it. But would I trade for Rafael Devers? You have to ask yourself, do you believe the Yankees, if they brought in a player who's making $30 million a year and put him at third base, I wouldn't have a problem with, I don't care about the defense. The defense is going to be below average. It's the reason Boston went and got Bregman, right? They wanted to marry that contract and move Devers and, hey, can you go play first base in emergency? Can you DH? And he's like, I'll DH. You didn't have me practice first, right? This whole nightmare. Would it be an upgrade for the Yankees to have Devers at third? Yeah, it would. But also, when you bring in that money, now what do they do with Bellinger? You probably kiss the Tucker thing goodbye. So you're making certain decisions. There are consequences to that. I'm not going to put any weight into the fact that they would potentially trade him to the Yankees. I won't buy it. I just won't. Haven't seen the Yankees make a big-time trade for big-time money in a while. So we're going to see what happens. You guys have been awesome, by the way, in the chat. So thank you guys. I do see like Dom D saying Devers is a headache, right? BG, Devers would be a terrible pickup. And mind you, I do think people are thinking about the defense, right? The what type of fit we're looking at. But you also see the words. You see it with Big Boss, Baby Bomber, right? Devers is a cancer. And some of that's also coming from what he puts into the media. You don't always have to answer questions the way you want to in the media. That's why they have media training. That's why there's things called like PR, right? And there are a lot of PR stunts, a lot of people not telling you the truth. But you know what's a lot better than not being told the truth in the media? When people put a mic in someone's face like Juan Soto and they're like, hey, what'd you think about missing the All-Star game? It's a clear indication. You say, yeah, I just really love to prove every year that I'm one of the game's best players and display this beautiful game. Say something obvious. They're trying to tee you up for that softball of a question. And he's like, oh, well, it was in my contract. It's going to lose me a lot of money. So yeah, I care. You're making $50 million this year. It's obvious not to say that, right? And Devers would make these type of mistakes as well. They ask you to move to first base. When you go into the media, what, you're gonna say, oh, yeah, I don't want to. Ownership is this, ownership is that. And then suddenly you're going to become available just months after being traded to the Giants. And I'm supposed to want you in pinstripes for the next decade. I'm good for the short term. All right. I'm sure he can hit big home runs for us in the postseason. He's a great player, but you got to have it all. And this is part of the reason why I want this long-term marriage with the Yankees and Cody Bellinger is you gotta spec out the person as well. What type of guy is this? Can you trust him with big time money, generational wealth? Can you trust these people? And some players, they're okay with it. They can deal with it. And there are other players that just go buck wild. They really show you. If you want to see what a person's really like, yeah, give them that job. Give them the nod. Give them some money. They're going to tell you exactly what they think. Everyone is exactly they're exactly who they really are when they start getting a paycheck. And I think the Devers situation, I don't know if that's a perfect fit with the Yankees. I probably leave it alone. So I'm with the chat here. I think I'm subscribing to the fact that we'll let him go somewhere else. And Colin Creed with the two says, what matters? Lead off JD, rotate Rice, same lineup. So agreeing with earlier with Ronnie, yeah, I'm with it. I just think that Alex Rodriguez mentioned this for a reason. He said, well, they said, what's the biggest difference? Like, what's something that you remember about the 2009 run? Now, mind you, this is the last time he won a World Series. So you probably should take some stock into what your former players are saying. You don't have to listen to every player. You don't have to buy into what everyone says. And there's been a million different clips, right? And you saw what Clint Frazier had to say. But with Alex Rodriguez, he said, one of the biggest things for the Yankees in winning the World Series when we did is, yeah, like I stepped up and other players as well. You saw what Hideki Matsui did. It was awesome. But you know what was so nice? Was that I showed up to the yard. I knew exactly what was being asked of me. I knew exactly who was going to pinch hit and why and when. I knew exactly who was going to be hitting two. I knew exactly who was going to be pinch running. Right. So everyone had a role. And not only that, all the roles were understood. They were predictable. What's been predictable about the Yankees lineup this year? Nothing outside the past 3 or 4 days. And just so happened, the Yankees, who have been on a massive losing streak, and people have been saying they should sell, I can't believe Toronto's ahead of them, all these things, they decide on a whim, we're going to go consistent with the lineup. Jason Dominguez, he's playing too well. We can't justify having him anywhere else other than leadoff. And he didn't get off to a great start. He's now hitting 269. His OPS is almost 800. He's the fastest player on the team. Perhaps you should put that player on the base pass ahead of Aaron Judge. Maybe that'll affect how they pitch to him. Maybe you can't be as timid pitching to Aaron Judge and throwing as many breaking balls as you do when one of the fastest players in the league is standing over at first base trying to get to second. Maybe not. Speed has an impact on the game. Cody Bellinger's shown you that, right? Jason Dominguez has shown us that. Jazz Chisholm has shown us that. So yeah, absolutely love the fact that the Yankees are understanding we're not going to be able to throw our lineup into ChatGPT and have it spit out something new every day and have it be the best way to play. Sometimes you have to make the obvious decisions. And I think right now, the Yankees are making that obvious decision. And I wanted to, last but not least, at least discuss this whole Jason Dominguez thing. Because Jason Dominguez, for me, and I understand he struck out 3 times today. I personally don't really care if the strikeouts pile up as long as you make an impact on the game. Somehow, some way. What's your job? And Jason Dominguez's job, now mind you, can't strike out 3 times every day. We get this. We buy into that. But also had 2 knocks, right? You see earlier in the game, okay, he flips him over a slow breaking ball. He's a young player, 22-year-old kid. How does he adjust? He just showed you some hard stuff and then a loopy breaking ball. The very next pitch, another loopy breaking ball, makes a great adjustment, lines it in the center field, immediate trouble on the base pass. So this is the type of development the Yankees have to see. And when you're going to bite off the responsibility of putting a young player, a 22-year-old player, at the top of a lineup, he's also got the protection of Aaron Judge to help out. Maybe this is just what the Yankees need, just what the doctor ordered. Trent Grisham's given this team production, but as Colin points out, isn't there so much more value in putting Jason Dominguez up at the top of your lineup with all that speed and all that future, all that potential, and just lock him in at the top of this lineup? If he fails, you make the adjustment. That's old school. Totally normal. Nothing wrong with it. But look what you have to gain, right? Of Cody Bellinger just sliding in the 3 spot. You're going to hit after Aaron Judge every day. And we don't have to say, oh, yeah, but Finnegan's out there. So you're going to slide down to 6th, and then we're going to start pushing J-Dom to 7th. No. The graphs and certainly some statistics may describe that to be the best way to play. It's not. I promise you, it's not. It's not the best way to play. So I do hope that people understand that the human element never goes away. It never goes away. So I hope, I really hope at some point that people understand that analytics are a good thing, but you have to know how to apply them. So again, guys, 11-0 win. The Yankees are trending on the way up. This is great. Great news. but the job's not finished clearly. We're not a first place team. We're not a guarantee to be hosting any postseason games. Nothing's guaranteed for the Yankees. The only thing that should be guaranteed for this team, and this is my conclusion today. So again, Colin, thank you. My conclusion is that Brian Cashman, all eyes should be on him. You've got a couple weeks now. Moves can be made tomorrow. They can be made in a couple weeks. But when it's all said and done, when you're saying who's on this Yankees roster, when it's go time, we're past the deadline, these are our guys, we need to look at that bullpen and say, my starter doesn't have to go eight innings. He doesn't have to go deep into a game. And if we can say that, I think the Yankees have a real shot because the AL is horrible this year. It's not good. Are there some good teams? Certainly. But you might look up and say that the team representing the American League is just a good, not great team. Just like last year, it felt like. I thought the Yankees were a good, not great team. And you saw in the World Series, great teams take care of the fundamentals. That's a prerequisite. And the Dodgers, while they didn't hit, they took care of the fundamentals. They ran the bases hard. They bunted guys over. They hit behind runners. They were just playing smarter baseball, and ultimately you reward teams for doing so. So they deserve to win. So obviously we congratulate them on that. But I wanted to definitely thank you guys as well. We've been in here 56 minutes. Really can't even believe we've been in here that long. You guys have been incredible. Make sure you guys subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. I do see that the chat has gotten busy. We are giving away, again, a Yankees jersey of your choice. We're not giving you some Fruit of the Loom crap. Any Yankees jersey. Marcus Stroman, if you want. Aaron Judge, if you don't already own it. Any player. So thank you for doing so. We're about 2,500 subscribers away from 10K. So you guys have been awesome. And of course, make sure you like this video.